Welcome to the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. I am the Queen of Pep Talks, Jessica Battle, founder and CEO of the Join Jessica XO brand, where I coach, speak, and influence women to improve their mindsets so they can become happier, healthier, and more successful than ever before. I am obsessed with helping women create the unwavering ability to believe in themselves in order to achieve a life beyond their wildest dreams. Each week, I'll bring you a series of pep talks that will encourage you to break through your own limiting beliefs and help you develop the mindset that will allow you to show up in your life to the best of your ability. If you're looking to lose your own bullshit excuses, get out of your own way, and grow into your infinite potential, well then, you're in the right place. Are you with me? Let's dive in. Hello, my love, and welcome back to another episode of the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. Happy Monday. I hope that your week is off to such a fantastic start. I am so happy. If you haven't heard me say this already, I've said it about a million times, and I'm going to say it just one more. I am so happy to be home, back to feeling mostly better, and back into a normal routine with life and work. Gosh, if you listened to last week's life update, February just, it did not pass the vibe check. It didn't. And March is going to be a better month. As I promised on the life update that I shared last week, I want to record an episode for you today about navigating hard conversations with loved ones. So I've kept you guys in the loop. I know that there might be people tuning into this episode who don't really know what's been going on with my dad. So I'm just going to give a quick little recap of kind of what's happened over the last nine-ish months now. And then I'm going to share with you how I prepared to go into a very difficult conversation that I had with my dad probably about a month ago. So it was probably about 6 to 9 months ago now that my dad broke up with his girlfriend. And he had been with his girlfriend for 12 years. If we have to rewind all the way back, if you're new here and you need to be completely caught up, when I was 9 years old, my dad abandoned my family. He left myself, my two brothers, and my mom in Pennsylvania when he made the decision to move to Louisiana to be with a woman that he had cheated on my mom with. And I did not have a relationship with my dad for the next 10 years. I saw him one time when we were invited to Louisiana for his wedding that we did not know was happening. We showed up there and he was getting married to my stepmom, and then we were shipped back home. And I talked to him very infrequently. He was not a part of my life at all. He missed birthdays and he missed holidays, and it was incredibly heartbreaking for me. When I was close to 20, my dad came back to Pennsylvania because he found a new girlfriend. My dad has a history with women. He jumps from woman to woman to woman, has never really been alone. He had a new girlfriend in Pennsylvania that brought him back to close to my hometown, about 2 hours away from where I grew up. And we reconnected. And I was about to be 20. I was 19, close to 20 when we reconnected. And obviously, there are so many feelings that go into navigating this. At 19, I was still quite immature and didn't really know how to navigate all of the feelings that I was having and all of the feelings that I was experiencing and going through after not having my dad in my life. And now he's back and he wants to be here, kind of, but not really. We've never really had a fantastic relationship. Our relationship is very, very surface level. But over the years, I've sacrificed a lot of my own feelings to have a relationship with him. The relationship that he came back to Pennsylvania for lasted for a couple of years. And then he met his most recent girlfriend, who he was in a relationship with for like 12 years. He was with her for quite a long time. I was very, very close with her. I love her still so much. I felt like she was a stepmom to me. One of the first women that my dad had been with after my mom, where I felt a closeness and really felt like there was someone there who cared about me and my feelings. Her and I were very, very close. My dad met a woman at the gym that he then proceeded to have a relationship with behind his girlfriend's back. And long story short, they ended up separating after 12 years or so together. And very quickly, he was in a very serious relationship with a new woman. And I'm 37 years old now. So navigating this at 37 feels very different than navigating at 9. And the last time that something like this has happened with my dad that I was present for, I was 9 years old. And it was when he left my mom to be with another woman. So very quickly moved on from my mom, left our family in the dust, and never looked back. Not only that, but talked badly and poorly about my mom. He still does to this day. And when I saw him talking badly about his most recent ex-girlfriend and saying terrible things about her, it really, really hurt me, because it just was a moment for me of recognizing what happened when I was a child. The situations were different, but so, so similar, that for both me and my younger brother brought up all of these feelings of like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, what is happening? How do you move on from this relationship so quickly, hate this person, leave this person in the dust, when at one point in time you supposedly loved them so much? And I think it just brought up a lot of feelings for my little brother and I that we had never really processed through as children, because we didn't really know what we were experiencing. And seeing it with adult eyes just felt so, so different. And it created a lot of negative feelings for me about my dad. Up until that point, our relationship was okay. We talked every once in a while. I went to see him every couple of months. Really enjoyed the fact that his girlfriend was there, because again, I loved her so much. She always felt like a safe kind of middle ground for me, where even when I was uncomfortable with my dad, she always made things feel better. So the relationship already had its kind of strains, and then this happened last summer, and it felt like a lot for me. It felt like too much for me to handle, if I'm being honest. It felt like there were so many things that I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say them. And I also know that anytime I've had serious conversations with my dad, he doesn't take responsibility. He doesn't apologize. He invalidates my feelings. And that was really challenging for me. So a couple of months ago, I started really distancing myself from him. I stopped answering his phone calls. I stopped answering his text messages. And of course, I wasn't proud of that, but I also knew that I needed some space. So I told my dad, like, I just need some space to think about how I'm feeling so that you and I can have a conversation, because I can't pretend that everything is okay when everything is not okay. And I've done a lot of that over the years, like pretending that I'm okay with things just because I want to keep the peace. I've been known to be a people pleaser in my life, and something that I've continued to work on overcoming. And I'm not going to get emotional during this episode. I promised myself that I wasn't going to sit here and cry. But my dad has, and probably forever will, hold this place in my life where I just so badly want to have the dad that I feel like I deserve. I want to have the dad that is there for me, that picks up the phone, that genuinely cares about me, that supports me through things in life, that has my back, that wants to see me win, that pushes me, that teaches me, that leads me. And I have never had that. And I don't know if I will ever be okay with the fact that I don't have that. Like, I am genuinely hurt by that. Like, genuinely, genuinely hurt by that. I really am. And it's something that I'm working on making peace with. And I think that because I have that feeling about my dad, I've really tried to put him like on this pedestal of like, even if you treat me like shit, I'm going to be okay with it. And I'm just going to be here and take it and deal with it and put myself on the back burner. And when this happened, I just felt like I'm not willing to do that anymore. So I took some space from him. And to be honest, the way that he acted throughout me taking that space was incredibly manipulative, incredibly narcissistic. It was just incredibly immature. It was not healthy. And it made me, again, just like deepen this feeling of like, who is this person? And it does not feel good to look at a parent. And if you've experienced this in your life, I know that you get it. It doesn't feel good to look at a parent and just genuinely feel like, I don't like the person that you are. The person that you are really hurts me. And the person that you are, I feel like you don't actually give a fuck about my feelings. Like, that is a really hard pill to swallow. And so I really had to take some space, but in that time, a bunch of just crazy shit was happening to my dad. So he turned 80 in December. Right after he got into this new relationship, he fell and he messed up his knee really bad. He was in the hospital for like a week. And the person that was communicating with me about this was his new girlfriend. And this was so uncomfortable for me because I don't even know this woman. I'm grateful that she was there for my dad, and I'm grateful that she's been able to take care of him and help him, but it just all felt really uncomfortable. Then after that, he crashed his car and was in a pretty serious car accident. And then after that, he fell again. Then he had skin cancer. They found skin cancer on his face that he had to have removed. It was like one thing after another, after another, after another. And I kept having this sinking feeling of like, anytime that I got a text about him or anytime that I got a call about him, I just felt such an overwhelming feeling of fear of like, I'm going to get a call soon that my dad is dead, that my dad is not here anymore, or that something like really, really tragic has happened and I'm never going to get to talk to him. And that for me just felt like too much to handle. One of the reasons, and I've shared this on episodes in the past when people ask me, like, why do you have a relationship with him if he hurts you? And to be honest, so much of it is selfish in that I don't know how I'm going to feel when my dad is no longer here. And the last thing that I want for myself is to live with regrets of feeling like I didn't try to have a relationship with him when deep down in my heart, like so badly, that's all that I really want. And I know that I'm never going to get what I actually want, but for me to look at myself in the mirror and know that I stopped trying, I think would really, really hurt me. And it's crazy to say this, but I would rather sacrifice my feelings now than to have to live with the pain for the rest of my life of knowing that I didn't give everything that I could. And if that makes sense to you, then it'll make sense to you. If you're rolling your eyes and you're like, Jessica, that's so fucking dumb, you're obviously entitled to that feeling. But it's been hard for me. There is no easy answer. There's no simple solution to this. And nobody knows, nobody can fix this for me, right? I've done tons of inner child healing work. I'm actually getting ready to start some deep, intense therapy again. And I know that it's going to be really good for me. I know that it's going to be very emotional, but I don't know that this is something that I will ever just completely get over. But anyways, long story short, it came to the point where I had to have a conversation with my dad about how I was feeling because I want to move forward. My dad is 80 years old. I do not want the last 2, 5, or 10 years of his life for us to be in turmoil with one another. I want to have the best relationship that I can with him. And I knew that it required a serious conversation about how I was feeling because we've had conversations in the past about him abandoning my family and not being there for me when I was a kid. And in every conversation, my feelings were invalidated. He was right. There was a reason for it. I couldn't understand because I was a kid. My mom was a piece of shit. He had to move on with his life. Like, I should, at one point he even said to me, I should be happy that he left because look at how great I turned out. Like, he has never once validated my feelings by just saying, you know what, Jesse, like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that I wasn't there for you in the formative years that you needed me. I'm sorry that I wasn't the dad that I know that you deserve. He's never said that to me. And I knew that I couldn't move forward in our relationship until I had a conversation about how much it has hurt me that he has never apologized, that he has never taken accountability, and that sometimes the way that he treats people really upsets me. And he had to understand that I was processing through things now as an adult that I didn't have an opportunity to process through when I was a child. And all I wanted was for him to be a dad and listen to me and be supportive and say, like, you know what, you're right. I fucked up. I'm sorry. I take accountability for that. And I want to move forward with you. And I did in some capacity get that from my dad. And since then, I have felt a lot better. I've been willing to call him and have conversations with him and go and visit him. I feel a lot better in this situation. But having that conversation was so challenging for me. Standing up for yourself is really hard with anybody, especially when it's a parent, and especially when it's a parent who has never validated the way that you feel, or even a friend or a loved one or a partner that has never validated how you feel, that every time you have a conversation, they try and make you feel like you're crazy, like you're the one that's wrong, like you don't know what you're talking about. Like, it, that's one of the most frustrating and manipulative things in the world. And I had to prepare myself to go into navigating this really difficult conversation. And I got a couple of DMs when I talked about this asking me if I would share with you guys some of the things that I did to prepare to navigate through this conversation. So I have here 2, 4, 6, 8 things that I think will be beneficial for you. The first thing that I had to do was get really clear on how I was actually feeling. So I actually navigated conversations with many people about how I was feeling. I talked to my husband about it. He allowed me to just share how I was feeling, give me his insights, give me his perspective. I spoke with my mom in length about it many, many, many times. And I had many conversations with my younger brother who was also feeling very, very similar to me. And allowing myself to really get clear on how I was feeling obviously sets me up to go into a conversation with clarity on what I want to express to that person. The second thing that I had to do, and something that is very important for me when navigating hard conversations in general in life, is I waited until I was able to approach the conversation from a neutral place. I took probably 2 months of not really communicating with my dad because I wanted to let my emotions cool down, because I know myself, it is very easy for me to get hysterical. Like, I'm not kidding. You guys see how easily I cry and how easily I get upset, especially around things related to my dad. I've always been an emotional person who wears my heart on my sleeve, and I've worked really hard to improve my emotional intelligence, and I've come a really, really long way in that, in my ability to navigate my emotions without becoming just a hot fucking mess. But I do get upset, and when I get upset, it's hard for me to communicate effectively the way that I'm feeling. Like most people, if you're hysterically crying, you can't control yourself. It's very difficult to approach difficult conversations because you can't even say the things that you want to say. So I really encourage you, if you want to navigate a difficult conversation with somebody, take the time that you need to let your emotions cool down so that you can approach that conversation from a neutral place, because it's just going to allow you to so much more effectively share the things that you actually want to share. The next thing that I did was I did not navigate this conversation alone. I asked my little brother to be there because I knew that he shared in similar feelings, and I knew that it would help me just feel supported. And when my dad tried to accuse me of being crazy or my little brother of being crazy, like, we could be there to have one another's back. I really recommend this. If there are other people in your family who are feeling a similar way, it's not about ganging up on the person. And my dad said that at one point. He was like, I feel like you guys are ganging up on me. It's not about ganging up on anybody. It's about having a support system while you're trying to navigate talking about difficult things. If you don't have someone to support you, someone who understands and can be there to support you in the conversation, I'd recommend having the conversation in public. I actually wanted to do this as well, just because it will cause things to stay in a healthier place, because no one is going to flip out and start screaming in public. I mean, some people may. I certainly wouldn't. I don't think that my dad would at this point in his life. 20 years ago, maybe at 80 years old, I'm not so sure. But my dad had actually just recently suffered a fall, and he was like not in good shape when we had the conversation. Like physically, he just looked really bad. Mentally, he was okay, but physically he was pretty just bruised up. But I would recommend getting a support system or having the conversation in public. The next thing is being really clear on what it is you want to communicate. So you've already thought about what it is you're feeling and you're clear on that, but what is it that you actually want to say to this person? What is it that you want them to hear from you? What is it that you want them to know? Write it down if you have to. Create some bullet points, because sometimes when we get into the heat of conversation, we forget what it is that we want to say because our emotions get involved, or someone says something that distracts us or pivots us from the way that we were thinking or the way that we were feeling. If you can, write down a list of the things that you want to make sure that you touch on during this conversation so that you can effectively communicate all the things that you want to communicate while you're having this difficult conversation. The next thing that I think is really important is being willing to listen to what the other person is saying, even if you disagree with it and even if it's frustrating you. And this isn't, from my perspective, when I do this in conversations, it's not because I obviously think they're right or I even really want to hear what they have to say, but I do think it's important that we give people an opportunity to say what they want to say so that when we ask for the opportunity to do the same, we are granted that permission, right? When we cut people off when they're trying to communicate with us, it then gives them permission to cut off us off when we're in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of our thought. So if I give someone full permission to finish their sentence, to say what they want to say, to get their thoughts and feelings out, if they try and interrupt me or cut me off, I can say, you know what? I allowed you to finish, and I would really respect and appreciate if you allowed me to finish as well. Next thing I would say is don't let your emotions get the best of you. Like, try really hard to remain calm so that you can effectively and clearly and concisely communicate the things that you want to communicate. Because especially people, and I say this with kindness and love and compassion, people who are narcissistic or people who will already try and make you feel like you're wrong or crazy, I feel as though people like that will take advantage of our emotions and use them against us by saying, like, look at you, you're out of control, you can't even control yourself, you're hysterical right now, like, what are you freaking out for? Like, I grew up with people, and I don't use the term narcissist lightly. I'm obviously not a therapist and cannot diagnose people as narcissists, but there are people in my family, my dad being one of them, who are very, very, very manipulative and will use anything and everything possible against you in conversations. So for me going into this, I felt like the more I could control my emotions, the better position I was going to be in to actually be heard. Because sometimes when we get hysterical or frantic, they're not even hearing what we're saying. They're just paying attention to the emotion. And I really wanted to make sure that I was being heard in what it was that I wanted to say. The next thing is to check your expectations going into the conversation. So for me, I went into this allowing the conversation to be for me so that I could get what I needed to off of my chest. And it was not about what I was expecting from my dad. Obviously, I would have loved to have gotten an apology, which I did get. I would have loved to have felt like I left the conversation as if we had moved forward and made a little bit of peace within our relationship. And I did get that. Very fortunate that I got that this time around. I do think it was because of the way that I prepared for the conversation and the time that I took to go into the conversation, really knowing what it was that I wanted to articulate. But I had my expectations checked because I know my dad pretty well. If you know the person that you're getting ready to have a hard conversation with pretty well, and they have a history of invalidating your feelings and not listening to you and making you feel like you're wrong and they've never done anything wrong, they take no responsibility, I wouldn't go into the conversation expecting anything different. And I didn't. I didn't go into this conversation expecting anything different. Of course, there's hope that things will be different, but my expectation was more of, I want to get what I need to say off of my chest because I can't pretend that things are okay anymore when they're not. I need to communicate this and I need to know that he understands that this is how I feel. So check your expectations before going into the conversation. And then the final thing I would say is, if the conversation goes the way you want it to, or if it doesn't, if there are boundaries that you want to set in that relationship moving forward, be clear on what they are and make sure that you're willing to communicate clearly the things that you are no longer willing to tolerate within that relationship. There were things that happened during our conversation that I said to my dad, I'm not accepting this from you. And if you do it again, I'm not going to continue in this relationship with you, because there were a lot of things that he said specifically about my mom that were super fucking hurtful to me. And I just feel like it is unnecessary to put other people down when we're having a conversation about something that has nothing to do with that person. So you need to effectively and clearly communicate your boundaries. And the only way that you can do that is if you have thought about, what are my boundaries in this relationship? What are the consequences if this person continues to overstep and do these things that I am no longer willing to tolerate? The reality is, hard conversations are hard and they're uncomfortable. I was so nervous going into this conversation. I was so uneasy. I didn't feel good about it, but I knew that it was something that had to happen in order for me to move forward in my life. And I think it's really courageous of you, if you're someone who wants to navigate a difficult conversation with someone that you love in your life, I think it's a really courageous choice. And I admire you and I commend you and I wish you all the luck in doing so. And I hope that some of the things that I shared with you here today can be beneficial for you as you navigate a difficult conversation in your own life, okay? If this episode was helpful for you, I would love if you would share that with me. You can either share the episode on social media or send me a DM on Instagram. Also, if you have not already, it would mean the world if you left a rating and review here on the Queen of Pep Talks podcast so that new listeners can find the show and tune in and get the pep talks that they need. I love you guys so very much, and I will talk to you on the next episode of the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. See ya. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you were inspired by today's pep talk, be sure to share it with me by leaving a rating and review on iTunes so I can keep the encouragement coming your way. I hope you know that your support in helping me grow the podcast this year, it means so much to me. If we aren't already connected on social media, head over to Join Jessica XO on Instagram or join the Join Jessica XO free Facebook community for even more content that will inspire you to show up in your life to the best of your ability. Make sure you check out the show notes of today's episode for links to freebies, upcoming opportunities to work with me, and ways that we can stay connected outside of the podcast. I love you so much, and I cannot wait to chat with you on the next episode of the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. In the meantime, go fuck this day up in the best way possible.